don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today.
Check one, two.
Check, check.
Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Check one, two.
Right on.
Check, 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 real good.
Hey man, what's your name? Woo!
Right on. Right on. They judge us simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Recovery Radio on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning down in Bolivar, West Virginia. I'm here with my good friend and engineer John Case, and we were just talking about a couple of things before we were going on air about the politics of
Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin. He said that name kind of robust. What's your take on that, John?
Well, you know, I've been watching Joe ever since I moved to the state, and Joe's what you call a philosopher of opportunism.
A philosopher of opportunism. You care to elaborate? Open that up for us.
So, I mean, there are some people, you know, who, if they see that the crowd is moving, you know, one direction, they just automatically, you know, move there because they don't want to be alone, right? And they want to be, you know, with the... And they're always trying to figure out what crowd they're in, you know, and they choose basically on what's going to immediately benefit them.
Yeah. Sound like some mommy issues.
All right. Maybe. Whatever. Maybe. No, I mean, it's just... you know, it's like you're looking for a deal all the time, right? You know, and anyway, but then there's what I call the philosophy of opportunism, where you think that this business of just going whichever way the wind blows is the morally and politically correct thing to be doing, as if you planned to be and you know, what's your life work? Well, I'm going to be the grease in the machine that allows people that hate each other to you know, keep staying in the same state with, you know, without shooting each other. That's kind of his philosophy there, right? You know, and he always has been, hey, you know, if the middle of the country was, a middle of the state politically was, I don't know, communist Vietnam, he'd be a communist, okay? But if it's Hitler, he's going to be up there doing the salute, man.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Ricochet Rabbit. You remember that cartoon of Ricochet? You don't remember the Ricochet Rabbit?
I remember hearing about it. I don't think I watched it.
Ricochet, I'm sort of, well, you know the how a pinball machine works, right? That little ball, he just bounces all over the place. Wherever there's a light or something that he can attach himself to in the pinball. So Ricochet Rabbit, the cartoon.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I
think that he voted the way he did on Kavanaugh. He voted to support this guy that's been accused of sexual assaults of granted a 30-year-old incident. Yeah, you know, so it doesn't upset me so much that people might want to, you know, not give that the kind of weight they've given a trial. But everybody who has said they heard this woman's testimony said it's credible. Even the people that are saying, oh, well, she was sincere, but she was just a delusion. You know, she couldn't possibly have met this guy. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, but there's plenty of other grounds on which to oppose Kavanaugh. I mean, this guy's been, you know, just, I don't want to use a, but I will. I mean, the Republicans used to have a name way back under Nixon and Donald Segretti for these hitmen, you know, going after, developing smear things, and you know, they were called them rat fuckers.
Okay.
And they Donald Segretti, who was indicted in the Watergate affair, you know, because he went up to Maine and printed all these lies about Edmund Muskie, who was a senator from Maine who was running, saying that he had used racial or ethnic epithets, you know, against French Canadians.
Yeah.
Who live in the state. I mean, it was dirty tricks everywhere they went, you know. But this guy Kavanaugh, that's what he is. He was a rat fucker for Bush.
And
now they want to make him a Supreme Court justice.
They have made him so.
They
far,
have made
right?
him.
Yeah.
And he's got a terrible record on civil rights. He's got a terrible record on labor. He's got a terrible record on the environment. And now, I mean, he's scarred for life by these. He's like poor. Who's the other guy up there that Anita Hill went out?
Oh yeah, you talking about
Clarence Thomas? I mean, I don't know how those guys can get up in the every morning.
I think Clarence was just—he's a token, you know, a token of somebody's appreciation.
Well, I hope he was paid well, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
I doubt it. I really? Really doubt it. I really doubt. I mean, I'm sure he got a lot of money, but the pay, I mean, you know, but depends on what he cares about. What do you think Joe's stance, what's his record on opioid addiction here in West Virginia?
Well, Joe, it's like on healthcare, okay? Now, Joe is, first of all, Joe's a smart guy. He is not a dummy, okay? He's not really an ideologue, unless you say opportunism is kind of an ideology, He's a very smart guy. He understands the issues. I mean, I've been to a lot of meetings, you know, where Joe is there, and he understands the issues, okay? I mean, you're not telling him something he does not know, usually, okay?
So do you think the very West Virginians have been hoodwinked?
Well, my question is that why did he do this, okay? Because his... in other words, vote against. He's the only Democrat that voted to send this guy Kavanaugh on. Now, the excuse he gives is as follows: I was governor once, and I really like to choose my team.
Yeah, I'd like to choose.
So I think presidents should be able to choose their team. Yeah. Unless they've been convicted of a crime or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Joe, but you know that doesn't really cut it.
Yeah,
okay. Especially so now. Then the other explanation comes out. Well, you know, the race with Morrissey was so close that he had to vote no. Otherwise, him and Morrissey, there'd be only one issue between now and the election, and you ruined Kavanaugh's life. And Joe would not have been the vote that makes the difference. It was Susan Collins.
Susan Collins was the vote.
So people say, "Oh well, you know, let's have a pass." But I mean, but keep in mind, over the past year and a half here, the big mass actions by ordinary West Virginians, especially women, have been the Women's March and all, and also those teachers are mostly women, and they went on a statewide strike, a political strike. How many times does that happen, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, you go out and say, well, I was just tacking to the right, you know, from my bass, and you know, I didn't really mean it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you mean you didn't really mean? I mean, this guy is. I mean, he's going to vote down the rest of Obamacare and Medicaid is the only thing that's doing anything with opioid addiction. Yeah. Am I right?
You're right. You're right. And
I mean, really. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get rid of that, and everyone's got to pay.
Yeah. Yeah. And or you get headed down that path.
So yeah. I mean, he's made.
Wow.
While Medicaid is there. I mean, he has been. I mean, Joe did cast an important vote to keep the Affordable Care Act about a year ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, he did. He was, matter of fact, he was the vote that everyone needed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are occasions where, when it's push comes to shove, and his vote's going to be the one that carries it or loses it, then he has behaved better than, way better than Morrissey. Okay, but this thing he did this time. I think he overstepped it. I think he went too far.
Yeah.
Because he's going to lose. I think he's going to lose more votes on his left flank than he is on his right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who are just, you know,
outraged.
And they're trying to. I see people on Facebook. They're struggling with the fact that even with this, he's probably better than Morrissey. Okay, but. You know how it is. I mean, when you say, "Hey, you got a choice."
You got a choice.
You can be hanged with a long or a short rope. What's your preference?
Yeah, long or short. Let me ponder that for a while.
What's his name? Manchin's down there in the Coalfields, and we're running around where Trump's having his rally down there, and saying, "No, I'm a 60% Trump supporter." Well, I mean, a 60% Trump supporter is going to get you to the gallows the same as 100% Trump supporter.
Same as 100%,
I mean,
right.
And well, maybe a little
got
slower.
Two choices: a long or a short rope.
Yeah, right. You know,
so you're not taking all the choices away.
That's right.
But it's such a scary state of affairs when I look over the addiction and the community, the resources, and all of the things that are going on, all of the moving parts in the addiction community and the things that I'm involved in. But, you know, it's kind of a scary proposition because the people who are most affected don't even realize or they don't have time or the resources to even listen to what it is that they need to talk about and how they need to engage and be a part of the solution. Because, you know, the people who are most affected won't even vote. They won't even get out and vote. You know, and so that's the scary thing about it.
I mean, if you're addicted and using drugs, it's going to be tough to get it up to go out and
vote, because by the time you get the energy,
the day is over.
You're waiting for the night to come so you can buy more drugs, you know, so you can not be involved in more things along the way. So yeah, it's really a scary proposition.
I wonder sometimes, you know, if that effect, in other words, that if you got a whole bunch of people in the state that are either poor or unemployed or and addicted, you know, if you feed them more dope, you're sure they won't ever vote.
so, right. So when you take that and look at it for what it really is, you know, you should become very, very either motivated, definitely fearful, you know, about what's going on. But you know, by the time we can mobilize enough people and get enough information out there to get people to really to activate them to go out and vote, the election is over. You know, things have been put in place, like Judge Kavanaugh. He's in.
Well, that's the other thing that's going to be tough for now, because Manchin leads the party, West Virginia.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. He's the leader. I mean, he's the senator, you know, and say, okay, well, you know, I'm a senator. I need to represent the whole state. Fine, but you're also the leader of the party, you know, which has, I mean, I'm sorry, but Kavanaugh is not the vision that's going to move the Democratic Party anywhere.
No.
I mean, if you're going to do that, I mean, people are they say, what the hell? There's no difference between you and the Republican.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to vote for them.
I'm just going.
They got a majority. They can actually enact some legislation. You can't do anything.
Yeah. You know, that's to look at it though. That's a heck of a chess move on Manchin's part, because you know it's the lesser of two evils. So people are going to either have to vote for him or sit vote it for out. The other guy or sit it out. Yeah. You know, and so those are not, you know, those are not the kinds of main courses that I would really like to order up for myself. I need some other choice. What's the other choices we have besides mansion?
There's the mountain party, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah. How so?
Oh, well, they're going to get under 2% of the vote. Okay. Mm. And well, they might get a little bit more now that Manchin has.
But then
shot himself in the foot, you know. Yeah. But no, but it's not. It won't matter. I mean, the only thing that would matter is it would make it more likely that Morrissey would win.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that there is an alternative right now. I mean, it's a serious problem with Manchin and the leadership of the party, though, because, I mean, he's done this repeatedly. I mean, he supported Jeff Sessions, an ardent segregationist. I mean, a believer, okay?
Yeah.
As Attorney General of the United States. I mean, I can't even believe, you know.
I wonder how many poor and disenfranchised people actually know that he supported.
Oh, yeah, he's like a Strom Thurmond.
They don't know.
You know, I mean, he puts on an act occasionally as if he's even-handed.
I met him. Yeah, he's an actor. He's an actor. They had an event at the at the university, the hospital one time, and he was there. And it was a packed house, and they were giving people opportunity to speak on the microphone to him. And I got the microphone. I started raising hell about the drug rehab and the resources here in West Virginia, and then especially in Berkeley County. And I got a lot of cheers from the crowd about, you know, because I got up and started. I guess you would call it acting ghetto. Microphone. Well, at that point, I was doing a radio show on WRNR.
Right.
And it seems that one of the people, our city councilman, who I won't remain nameless, I mean, he went back to the radio station and reported in to the owner of the radio station, who is absolutely a Republican.
Oh, yeah.
And said to him, you know, you need to get Mr. Boyd in check. Because he's confronting our state senator in a way that's not good for your radio station.
And senator, or you mean attorney general?
No, he was Joe Manchin. It was Joe Manchin.
Oh, Joe Manchin. Oh, okay.
Was in there. And I had a chance to just tell him how I felt because they were talking about opioids.
What did he say?
He just said, I don't have any money, because I told him they were talking about the money that his wife got from
EpiPen,
the EpiPen thing, and I was saying, you know, you need to get some of that money that she was paid and put us a rehab here in Berkeley County.
Well, I've heard two additional theories. Okay, did he really? First of all, I mean, the Charleston Gazette says that he's somewhere between 7 and 12. Was actually at one point said almost 20 points ahead of Morrissey.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I don't know whether that's accurate, and maybe it's maybe they think it's closer. But anyway, he's leading because two reasons. One, that, you know, Morrissey's a crappy campaigner, actually, and you know, and he's canned ads that are coming in from Alec and his, you know, the right wing attack machine. But you know, Manchin is. You know, and it's hard to believe the argument that if he said no on Kavanaugh on whatever grounds he wanted to, there were plenty of grounds. He didn't have to go whole hog and believe everything that he was charged with. You know, and he didn't have to do that. You know, there were some other people that look at Heidi Heitkamp from there's a majority Trump voting district. She did it. Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, a Republican, did it. Wow. You know, why can't you?
He just chose not to.
Okay. Well, yeah, he chose not to. Yeah. But you still stuck. This guy is a man that calculates, okay? This is not a dummy. This is not somebody that, I mean, he's got staff working for him, but he thinks, okay? So the other possibility, of course, is that he actually is going to change parties, become a Republican. And he actually believes that Kavanaugh is well suited and fit for the job.
Wow, you know, and we have
now. We just had that happen 2 years ago. Jim Justice.
Jim Justice got in there, yeah.
Okay, and switched parties. Now, why would someone, what would tempt somebody to switch a party? Suppose you're Mitch McConnell and you're the majority leader of the Senate, or Trump, or whatever, and you say, you know, Manchin could come over if we offered him enough.
Money taking the payoffs.
And there's two big things that have been sitting out there in the background. You know, sure, I'm sitting here in West Virginia. All the Democrats now hate me. I don't have any power because I'm a Democrat. I don't have the chair of any committee. What if the Republicans give me all my seniority and say, okay, you can be the chair of some committee and figure out a way to channel a bunch of money into your state? Because now you'll have the president's backing rather than fighting him. Now, you can see how, you know, right?
Payoff. Yeah, the payoff.
Now, the problem with taking a payoff from a guy like Trump is that once you take the payoff from him, he owns you.
He owns you. That's like a CI, a confidential informant, right? They don't...
Pretty much.
You can't just snitch one time. You have to keep it up.
You got to keep it up.
Yeah,
that's
you
right,
got to keep doing it. So, Joe Manchin, you know, I feel for you, man.
I think he's fallen into the pit. I think he's gone. I don't think he can lead the party. Anywhere. Yeah. Where's
like
he going to lead it?
Noodle.
Yeah, he's leading it 60%. He's leading you to that long rope or whatever.
Yeah. You know, maybe we need to throw him some Viagra or something in there to get him.
I don't know.
You know, maybe he can get to the testicular fortitude that it takes to kind of stand up to these people that, you know, that just set out to systematically destroy people just in a way that it's not necessary, you know. I mean, it's necessary for him if he wants to keep his place at the table.
I think he does, but I mean, I think he this was a bad move.
Yeah,
as far
all the way
as
around.
I mean, and it, but it continues. I mean, things that he's done before, like for example, in the primary election in the 2016, Sanders beat Hillary Clinton in every single county.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single one, and yet ended up at the convention with less than 50% of the delegates.
Now, how does that happen?
Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin.
And the leadership of the Democratic Party, the superdelegates, everybody that he had that were defiant so that they made it so that it was a majority Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it was by one vote or something like that.
But and so I see that as the chess move, because either you're going to vote for him or you're going to vote for the other guy. Or sit it out. Now, how did we get to that place to where we have these sorts of choices? And he's, you know, while you're waiting to decide whether you're going to vote for him, he's throwing you under the bus. It's like, you know, I remember one time when I first got married and I had stepchildren, a teenage son, and his mom was trying to get him to do the right thing, come in the house, go to school and everything. And so he was doing three things because he was getting older and he was bristling up at his mother. But what he was doing behind her back, you know, he was saying, okay, mom. But what he was doing behind her back to me, he was flexing like, yeah, my mother. She takes up, she got my back, you know. So he was going in and out of the refrigerator, which I was filling up. And so that's kind of like how Joe Manchin makes me feel, like, either, you know. So I got this. So if you don't vote for me, the Republican Party, they're going to take care of me as long as I do what they say. To me, it's a hell of a state of affairs that we're in here. But our topic this morning, and I really want to stay on the politics of recovery and to kind of get your take. First of all, before we go into the topic this morning, which is the Recovery Coach Academy, I want to ask you something. Give your predictions about the local elections. Do you have any idea of who we should vote for in the locals? What do you think?
Well, my good buddy Zaki is going to run for city council. Mm-hmm. He called me the other day. I'm going to have a dinner party for him here, raise a little money two weekends from now. I'll send you an invite.
I will certainly show up for that.
So he's going to run for city council, and I think
county council.
County council, mm-hmm. I mean. And I think that, you know, being a doctor and stuff has helped. He's gotten some endorsements. I think you're one of your the host there at R&R, who's usually, mm-hmm. you know, flipping pancakes on the other side, mm-hmm. Is going to support him. You yeah. know, mm-hmm. just because, you know, well, you know, they need a different mix in there, you know. Yeah. And so there's, so maybe he'll, maybe that'll work. So, I think.
That's a step in the right
That would be a step in the mm-hmm. right direction. I hope that Sammy Brown runs mm-hmm. because she's campaigned so hard and she campaigns. I don't know how much she's connecting with, you know, the door knocking, but she's doing a lot of door. She's
a
doing
lot.
A lot. She's doing a lot of door knocking, and she's doing a good job on her Facebook page too.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. She's putting boots on the ground a lot.
You know, so that's important. If she's listening and she's tuning to what people are saying, then yeah, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Although I see a lot more Jill Epstein signs than I see of hers.
Yeah, I know, and that's a strange. That's a strange, I mean, that's a hard pill for me to swallow, man, you know, with the two candidates there. But I'm hoping that Sammy takes it.
Me too. I mean, you know? I think she's a fresh voice. She's young. She went through it last year. She learned a lot. I think she's campaigning better. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, the leadership. Again, you have a little bit of a problem. The leadership of the Democratic Party was nasty to her last time. I don't know how. Well, maybe they're improving now, but I don't know. I doubt it, though.
I doubt it. Yeah.
I doubt it. Look at what happened. Just happened, and you know. So we'll see.
Yeah.
On that one, I think in Jefferson County, the Democrats have a better chance because the Republicans have discredited themselves with respect to this Rockwool.
Yeah.
Plant. I mean, whether. I don't quite have the same opinion on that as everybody. I don't have an opinion on parts of it. You know, mm-hmm. you know, everybody throws around these figures. Well, it's putting out benzene. It's putting out this. I said, well, so what's the standard? It's unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it doesn't matter. We don't want it.
At all.
I mean, that bugs me some. Okay, but it's clear that it's very unpopular among a lot of the county. Okay, mm-hmm. Those guys have already sunk millions of dollars into that project.
Yeah, they're not turning back.
It'll end up in the Supreme Court if they're shut down, you know, somehow. Yeah. Stephen Skinner says, oh, no, what grounds would there be?
Grounds?
I said, well, if there's $100 million at stake, they'll find grounds.
Yeah.
Imagine the law firm that'll turn down that one.
Oh, man, yeah, yeah.
Hey, we want to sue. Well, sure.
Sure. Why not, you know?
We'll figure out something.
We'll just add this in there. But, yeah, it's a really sticky state of affairs that's going on here.
I think Lorenzetti may win. Mm-hmm. I think Jane Tabb might win. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll change the balance.
What
on
about the Senate race here? John Unger and... And who's that?
I don't have an estimate of how it's going. I hope John wins. John's, you know, I mean, he's the best we got, actually, in this county in a lot of ways. He's productive. He's not the most liberal. On the other hand, he picks stuff to do.
Yes.
And, he has a pretty good nose, I think, for what's doable and what might not be doable.
Yeah. And he's a hard-working, he doesn't go out and bash people over the head who opposes his ideas.
No, he got really upset the first year in the legislature. I saw him lose his cool a couple of times. They have a video. You can get a cam. They have a video cam going all the time. And when he was majority leader, right? But then when the Democrats went down, he became minority leader, I guess. And, you know, I mean, Armistead, the guy on the other side, that fool. I mean, he kept insulting
John finally
let him have it, you know. But anyway,
as a matter of fact, one of the instructors and founders from Grace, who started the Recovery Coach Academy, she's coming on the show next week to talk about the Recovery Coach Academy and some of the things that they've been doing and how we're going into the emergency rooms. So I'm pretty excited about that. But over the weekend, last weekend, John came to my church. Shocked everybody. And I was so surprised because no one in the church knew him. Except the pastor, who is director of the Eastern Panhandle Transit Authority, Doug Pixler. Doug knew him. But most of the ladies in there, they didn't know. They were so excited. Because I said, here's Senator John Unger. And they were saying, oh, really, a senator is in our church? So they were kind of excited. And I'm glad he came because he needs to do that more.
Yeah, he campaigns in interesting ways, you know.
Yeah, very
but so I like John. I hope John wins.
I hope he has a good rep.
I think most places. So
and this is Recovery Coach Academy. They have trained, man, like 600 people across the state since it got started. I think it's been a little over a year, and they go up and down and do these trainings. It's like a 5-day intensive training type of thing.
One problem I see is that the Democrats got a problem in West Virginia, and that is they don't know where to find the money to fix things.
Right, exactly. And so they use a lot of volunteers, because we are all volunteers.
Well, they do, but that also their policy vision becomes very divided. I mean, you have the environmentalists who are just, you know, absolutely against coal, and then you have coal, which is paying about a quarter of the bills in the state. And then you have, you know, the natural gas explosion, which is there's a lot of money involved there, but none of that's staying in the state, or, you know, hardly any. And so you have and your tax base is tough, because you don't have any billionaire. You only have one, and that's the governor.
That's him. Yeah, just one billionaire.
One billionaire. Connecticut, you know, probably has two or 300, a hundred or two, you know. I mean it's,
wow,
give me the difference between yeah, it's huge. You know, when Bush did his tax cut for the rich back in, beginning of his first administration, there was only 100 families in West Virginia that qualified. But there was almost a million in Connecticut, maybe a little more.
It's almost like that's another world or something. West Virginia is like at the bottom.
We're second to the bottom. Mississippi is supposedly worse. Who knows?
You know. Well, how did it get that way?
It's the domination by a single natural resource that is probably the most, because its level of employment has dropped, you know, steadily for 100 years.
But
its value added, its value taxed, which is how it controls not just the state government, but also several counties where coal is or was produced, rely entirely upon the severance tax to pay their bills. Okay, so.
Has it always been that way with West Virginia?
No, the severance tax was passed back in the 70s, I believe. No, or maybe the 70s or early 80s, with Senator Byrd was behind that. And the reason they did it was because the employment was declining. There was a lot of complaints about the corruption of the coal companies and some of the governors. I think Arch Moore, Shirley Moore Capito's uncle, went to prison over it.
Oh,
you know, so he was governor at the time.
Yeah,
and his grandson is running for delegate in this district right here, Riley Moore.
Riley, yeah, I've seen that name.
My name is Riley Moore. My grandfather's the governor of West Virginia.
No, okay. I heard, I'm gonna have to pull that up.
Alan Sturm, you know, one of the local guys here that's retired. He remembers when Riley was like 8 years old, and he was sitting next to him and the governor at a football game, and the governor got up, and Archmore got up and to go take a leak or something, whatever, anyway. And so he's sitting there introducing himself to this young kid, 8 years old, and I said, what is your name? My name's Riley Moore, and my grandfather's the governor of West Virginia.
I hope somebody got that on tape.
I heard it from Alice.
Oh, my goodness. boy, that would be golden right through here. So now, tell me, because that's very, very interesting. So the money in West Virginia and the billionaires we were just talking about, do you think that the decline in employment here kind of adds to the drug addiction problem that we have?
Isn't it true almost everywhere in the world that, you know, if you have high unemployment and if you don't have a big system like Portugal or something like that is really has legalized the drug, and people get prescriptions basically, you know. If you don't have that, I mean, sure. I mean, unemployment and you know, no prospects.
But
unemployment's going down right now because of the.
I wonder if drug addiction is going down.
Well, now that's a good question. That's a good question.
If the two are related, I mean,
they should be. Most of the jobs being created are, you know, don't pay much, but. Especially around here, so that might or might not help. I don't know.
Because I was talking to, like I said, Doug, my pastor, and he runs the bus company. So he was saying that they have a lot of bus routes and they have a lot of buses, but they don't have drivers, because when you get your CDL, if you can go across the state line and get higher wages, then why would you drive a bus here?
Yeah.
Unless you're a volunteer. And you know, and mostly the volunteers that I run into across the state are elderly people, or people who have already made their lot in life in terms of how to support themselves, and they are able to volunteer. And so when you need a volunteer crew that has to do some heavy lifting, well, your volunteer crew does not qualify because they can't do any heavy lifting. I mean, so it becomes all tangled up with the volunteer pool. Now, as far as all the moving parts in the recovery efforts, every time we get to a place where we seem to be making some headway, they add another piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they add another obstacle, another barrier gets thrown in the mix. And it's very subtle how they add these different things. And so now they're dealing with DHHR to change over the medical transportation part of it. The Eastern Panhandle Transit Authority is handling that, but they've changed the name, taking it away from medical transportation people and put another name in there. But because DHHR has been handed this responsibility, there's so much red tape. And
yeah,
they seem to be going to get extra red tape.
So you can't get the ride you need.
So you can't get the ride you need. And by the time your ride gets there, either you've gone out and overdosed because your body's telling you you need to put some substance in here, or I'm going to drive you crazy.
You know, I would start out with the presumption, you know, that these guys are deliberately trying to kill people and then prove it wrong.
And then,
okay?
Then prove it wrong.
Frankly, I mean, I would just go there, because otherwise, I mean, you know, they're going to give you a bunch of line of bull, right? I mean, anyway, probably about it, and or they don't even know, okay? And, but that's the big question, right? I mean, is this red tape change where now they can't get the ride? The problem's worse, but they can't get the ride, you know. And so why did you do that? And then all you get, well, it's all the red tape. Well, cut through it. Yeah. Do something.
Yeah. And you know, and we're talking about lines and red tape, and they've been gathering, or they've been drawing this line for about 100 years.
Yeah.
So that's got to be a very long line. They've been gathering red tape for over 100 years,
and most of it's ways to disqualify people from getting whatever
it's
they need.
Systematic.
Yeah. Oh well, they're probably ripping you off.
When you start to speak about things being systemic, you get labeled as a troublemaker.
Or, well, that's true.
You know, is it systemic? And they will say, well, no, you know, because we're doing X, Y, and Z. I left a meeting this morning with the United Way of the Eastern Panhandle, and I'm on the board of directors there, and I'm listening to all of the good work that they're doing. But it's almost as though addiction and treatment is sort of second fiddle.
You know, here's a suggestion that might be interesting, is that it's very important. I was reading actually yesterday a very interesting thing about how the United Nations for years had all these programs, you know, to help poverty, to help food production, to help this, to do something about disease and different. And also they had these projects about, you know, building democracy and nation state building, and what, you know, how do you get your country to move, you know, skills, how to set up a situation where you could have a little marketplace if you wanted to have one. How are you gonna, you know, do that? Anyway, so but then, you know, a guy who just won a Nobel Prize for economics, matter of fact, William Nordhaus, asked a question. He says, how do you know that any of these programs had any effect? Mm. What do you measure? You know, where's the data? Mm. You know, and of course, in some of them there aren't. Now, in some there aren't, like direct medical assistance, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the doctors keep records of, in the hospitals, of patients in and out, and what the conclusion was. So there's some data, okay? And so if you wanted to spend X amount of dollars on something that you knew was going to have some direct effect you could measure, okay, well, then you might put it into healthcare, you know, unless the healthcare system was run by a bunch of, you know, kleptomaniacs or something, you know, like yeah, Trump or something, you know. But yeah, so I mean, you know, it's the same. I think, you know, here, if you're going to have I'd be interesting to find one of the professors at Shepherd, for example, or one of the whatever better university. You can probably go to Johns Hopkins, though they're the best on this, and somebody who can identify data sources that would allow you, and I'll tell you, there's probably more of them than you might think, allow you to have an assessment done, so you could answer the question relatively authoritatively, are we making progress or aren't we? Cut through the bullshit, you know. So, and that means somebody's got to be like, well, okay, well, how many data sources do you have, you know? And of course, in some cases, right, like Johns Hopkins got the biggest bioinformatics program in the country, you know? And so, I mean, they can look, they got access, for example, to Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft chat libraries and histories.
Oh.
Now, you take, you know, zip codes like in West Virginia, okay, and you go, and you have these people who can do these programs that can go through and try to find patterns, maybe related to opioid abuse, okay, in this case, in the chat records, which are usually scrubbed for names and all that, but I mean, for a whole state over a 20 or 30 year period, you're going to get some really interesting data. You know,
it's
what they call it. You know, a deep cut for sure, because you get more dimensions. Right? People talk about all aspects of addiction in their chats with their with friends, or by any other subject. Same thing. Okay, and plus you're always getting a feedback. Right? They're chatting with somebody who's answering. So you got a lot more richer data set in some respects, although it's less ordered and organized.
Okay, all right. That is very interesting.
You know,
so how can we put that?
Well, that's why I think the sociology professors now at Shepherd,
Shaquita Bostic Howard is.
Well, you might talk to her. Mm-hmm. Okay, now there's a person who, I mean, she has a line about. She was on my program for 4 or 5 times. You know, Zaki used to. We had her come in maybe once every 2 or 3 months, and she's a very smart woman. But she is, I don't believe she's a believer in saving the addict. I think she's a save the children.
Right, exactly.
I think so.
I would concur talking with her.
You know, yeah. But there's other, that doesn't mean she would not be able, and still even in fact be interested in a data approach to this. And I got some names of a couple of other data scientists over there I'll give to you.
Yeah.
I mean, we might go over and just, you know, chat with them and see what they think might be possible. I mean, Shepherd professors are paid so little.
I think that would be a very interesting thing to try and implement here on Recovery Radio, because where do you get the data from? The sources is the thing is actually happening to the people, right? You get the data from right from the pool of people that's going through it.
Well, and all the folks that you've been, you know, all the little organizations that have been
How do you get? Because you and I, we ventured into that question at the park. At the Hope Dealers.
But I don't see why people can't summarize their data. Okay, and I think you would find all these providers would also be. Wouldn't it be better if we had reliable data? Now you can try to protect the anonymity if you can find ways to do that. These guys at if they're data researchers at Shepherd, they'll know how to do that. You know, how to construct it so that you can't, you know, get someone's, in effect, their personal medical record.
Right, the HIPAA and all of that. Yeah, because we talked about that in the last class to permit recovery coaches to go into the emergency room starting coming up next week. And one of the things is collecting the information about how effective this is in order to keep it going. We have to document some things and You know, they cautioned us about HIPAA and privacy right. laws and all of that, which is really important. But I but think that's need, an excellent
you,
idea.
But you need a professional of some kind in this kind of research to assist you in gathering it, and who's actually interested in maybe finding, you know, going beyond just the official state statistics. Because for hospital reports, you got that. That's okay. Or you do as long as Medicaid's active, I guess.
Right,
you know?
Right.
When they stop that, I don't know where you're going to get somebody.
Well, we're going to have to vote. We got to come out and vote.
You got to.
You
got to
come out and vote, and you got to vote correctly. I mean, you know, and so I'm telling everybody, vote Democrat. Go and vote.
Yeah,
man.
I'm going to vote. I mean, I'm
just
probably going to
put it out there.
I mean, I'm going to hold my breath because I think it's possible that Joe's going to do something even more before the election. If he's already
bizarre.
He shot himself in one foot, he might shoot himself in another foot.
So he can have
now.
A set. He needs to have a pair of,
you know. But yeah, I mean, we
busted
can,
feet.
But I'll probably vote for him just because. I mean,
listen
I'll vote for him expecting to be betrayed.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And you expect. That's
I'm going to marry that girl. Next week she's going to cheat on me.
Well,
maybe I'll get a week out of it.
Right. Maybe you'll get a week out of it. You'll get something, you know. But Joe, I remember meeting him in the park at one of the many breakfasts they have. They usually have a breakfast in September. Pancake breakfast or something.
Yeah.
And he was
I think they're having it
pancake.
This week. Aren't they having it this week?
I think it was last week.
Or was it last week?
Maybe. And
I thought he was going to be in town.
My name is Joe. And I told my friend, I said, yeah, that's Joe Manchin. Because, you know, my friend Lorenzo, he didn't know who he was. And
yeah.
I said, that's Senator Joe Manchin. You know, and his ears perked up because he's a senator, right? That kind of thing. You know how you get starstruck, I guess. And he said, I'm Joe. You know, and I said, oh, okay, here's a state senator. This is a great guy here. And then I started encountering him a few other times and just looking.
You know who knows Joe probably better than anyone in the county?
John O'Neill. Really?
Yes.
And I talked to him last week and I said, John, what do you think we should do to help you get reelected? And he said, well, just keep doing what you're doing, serving the community and talk about what we're doing on social media and on your radio show. And that's it. He said, other than that, you know, there's not too much we can do. I don't, you know, he said, I got a few signs and I'm going a few places. He said, but, you know, I strongly believe that, you know, the truth will prevail. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, this guy. But he's been senator. How long has he been senator here?
Quite a while now. Yeah, I think he was state senator when I got here in 2003.
Wow, in 2003, that's quite a bit.
Because he started out, he went to seminary school. He was going then, I think, while he was...
And he's very smart.
He's a brilliant guy.
Explainer, yeah.
Brilliant guy.
He breaks things down. And when he teaches those classes, and he's very hands-on. You know, I've never engaged too many politicians. But the city council, the only politician, the only city councilman that I know is really hands-on, and somebody's going to smack me for saying this, is Kevin Knowles, but it's the truth.
Wow.
You know, he gets out in the community and puts boots on the ground. You'll see him any weekend with his roughed jeans on and everything in the community. He goes to his NA meetings, and he's all around, and you see him everywhere in these dark places, you know. But he's actually getting stuff done. In Berkeley County.
He's a Republican too, right?
No, Kevin is a Democrat.
Oh, he's a Democrat.
Yeah, that's odd thing about it. That's why I don't understand why he ran back to the radio station that time and told the owner, who was my boss at that time. Well, not my boss. He just gave me the opportunity to come on the show because I wasn't getting paid.
You were challenging Manchin.
Manchin.
And
he went to the radio station owner is a Republican. The whole station, basically. Up there, you know, most of them are Republican. The leadership, they're Republicans. He went and, you know, and said that to him. But I guess, I mean, it's some kind of economical move or a business move for the radio station. That's the way it was told to me when they
then I want to get in trouble
for having some radical person on.
Yeah, well.
So, but you know,
but they got rid of everybody over there.
They wanted to go to the
yeah, Hannah. They got rid of, and Hannah had me and JB on, and that, they got rid of us. And so. That guy,
because you were making too much
noise. I don't know who the what the owner's name was, whatever it was. I met him.
Michael.
Is that what his name
is? Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, he's from Johannesburg, South Africa.
He told me he didn't want me mentioning that the president was a fascist on the radio, and I says, "Well, why don't you mention it?
Why don't you mention it? He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that because it cuts into his monies, you know." But I'm starting to get an earful of everything, but. Recovery Coach Academy is what we were going to be talking about this morning, but I'm so glad that we switched gears because I think
politics
that politics is very
important.
Got
to get out and vote, man.
That's what we got to do, man. We got to get out and vote, and we got to engage one another and talk about what's going on in the community.
I think you got to try to, I mean, your best you can do is try to restore some reason, frankly, to, I mean, the county commission in Jefferson County is run by three complete fools, okay, and dangerous ones at that. They're the ones that cooked up this deal with Rockwell and didn't tell anybody about it, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's just... Yeah. Although, one of the incumbent Democrats also went along with it, you know. But but it's a problem you do when you get into being non-transparent, all right? You know, if you're going to build a big factory out there, it can't be you're telling me that you're not going to be able to find out that there's a lot of people going to be against it. And what are you going to do? Oh, it's all done deal. Sorry.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't fly.
No, it doesn't. You know, I think we're going to wrap it up.
Okay. What do you want to do now on the music wise?
Do Trouble Man by Marvin.
Trouble Day. Man. Mm-hmm. I like.
Yeah.
All these guys. Oh.
I'm really excited. I do hope Sammy Brown.
I do too, man.
Yeah, because I mean, she works really really hard, and she works tirelessly and.
Got a lot of energy.
Yeah, she does.
You know her. Have you met her mother and dad?
I know. I think the bear. She calls him the bear.
He's a trip, you know. Yeah. But her mother was a national health and safety sort of research expert for AFSCME, American Federation of State County. Yeah. She just retired, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty
and,
cool.
But he's a trip. I only saw him once, and that's when we went with the Labor Council to go see Mooney, who wouldn't meet with us.
No,
we had to meet his staff kid, who looked like he was about 12. I mean, he couldn't shave yet.
No.
You know, so...
That's not Aaron Hackett, is it?
I don't know. It might be. I can't
tall,
remember.
Tall, slim kid?
No. This guy was chubby.
Oh, okay.
This was couple years ago, you know. But anyway, it's just
okay.
It's okay. Trouble, man. Let's see. Trouble.
Don't get in my way, Trouble Man.
Hold on, I gotta type "man" in too. Otherwise, it's not gonna find it. There we go, Trouble Man.
This I know. Yes, man. Let's go.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Yes. See you next week.
Checking trouble, sugar, moving down the line. I come up hard, baby, but that's okay. Cause trouble, man, don't get in my way. I come up hard, baby. I've been for real, baby. Gonna keep moving. Let it sweat me, babe. got good connections, they dig my directions. When people say that's okay, they don't bother me. I'm ready to make it, don't care what the weather, don't care about no trouble, got myself together. I feel no kind of protection that's all around me. I come apart, baby. I've been for real, baby, with the trouble man. There's only three things for sure. Taxes, debt, and trouble. Oh, this I know, baby. This I know, baby. Hang on, let it sweat, baby. Come up hard, babe. Now I'm fine. Check and troubleshoot. Hey, move.